We're going to continue our series called Philippians, and as we do that, I want to, honest to goodness, I'm missing Bubba, and I'm bringing back a Bubba joke this morning. All right, so here we go. Bubba, when he was a small boy, Bubba's mama sent him down to the pond to get some water for cooking dinner. And as he was dipping the bucket into the water, he saw two big glowing eyes. And he realized it was an alligator. And he dropped the bucket and he ran back all the way up the hill to the kitchen. And he said, "Mama, Mama, there's an alligator in the pond." And she said, "Oh, Bubba, don't worry about that alligator. He's been there for years and he won't bother anybody. He's not going to bother you. He's probably as scared of you as you are of him." And Bubba said, "Mama, if he's as scared of me as I am of him, that water ain't fitting to drink." All right, you got to do better than that. These are the jokes. All right, I'm going to give you one more. This is my favorite one of all time. Jimmy said, "What's the fastest way to get to Fort Worth?" Bubba said, "You walking or driving?" Jimmy said, "I'm driving." Bubba said, "That's the fastest way." All right. All right. I'm believing that God is going to help us and moving forward, and we're just going to rebuild, and the joy of the Lord is going to grow every day and every week right here at Grace Point. It's just been a tough time on everybody. And Philippians is one of those books in the Bible that explains to you and me how we are to have joy in the middle of difficult circumstances. Now, I want to start with this simple phrase or simple sentence that I think will set us up for today's message. It goes like this: God will place us in circumstances that we do not like, so the good news of God, the good news of Jesus, can be shared with other people. God will place you and me in circumstances we don't want to be in, so that the good news of Jesus can be shared with other people. Now, that means there are times in my life that I have to deal with stuff that I don't want to deal with. I have to handle stuff that I don't want to handle. Now, let's just remember what Paul is doing as he is writing this letter to the Philippian church, the city of Philippi, and the church there. He is awaiting trial in Rome before the Supreme Court of Rome, all right? He is waiting to go before Nero, the emperor, to see if he's guilty of these trumped-up charges that have been brought against him. Now, here's what you need to know about Nero. Nero was so ruthless and so evil, he killed his own mother. And now Paul is waiting to go before this emperor who has no morals whatsoever. If you'll kill mama, you'll kill anybody. He is not thinking twice about Paul. Now, Paul is there, and they've allowed him to stay in a house. He's basically renting a house, and his friends can come and visit him when they want to, but he is in chains while he's there. He's waiting for the Jewish prosecutors to come and bring these charges, these false charges, against him. And so, in the beginning of Philippians chapter 1, he tells the Philippians, "Look, I love you. I love you a lot. I miss you." He even said, "My heart yearns for you. I just want to spend time with you because I know you love me." They just sent him a gift and helped him while he is in held in solitary almost in this house for 2 years. And he loves them. But then he goes from, "I love you, I thank God for you every day," to really starting to describe his situation a little bit more. So we're just going to jump in at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. And he said this: "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters," I love this, he's talking about family. Talking to brothers and sisters, that feels like family, right? He says, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news." Now let me back up just a second and I'll let you in on something. If you are using the Philippians journal, it's going to be in the English Standard Version, the one that's printed in your journal. This one is the New Living Translation. I'm doing this for more than one reason, but one of the reasons is this. I want you to get this language from different perspectives. Same message is said in a different way. So we're going to use the New Living Translation this morning. It says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news." Now, he is being held. He is being lied about. He is going to have to go before Nero evil Nero with these trumped up charges against him. And he says, all of that, everything that's happened to me here has helped to spread the gospel. Now, so he's really letting them in on what's going on in his heart right here. He said, I'm okay with this. Watch the next verse. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I'm in chains because of Christ. He said, everybody here knows why I'm here. Verse 14, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. He said, look, everything that's happened to me is building the gospel, is sending the gospel out to more and more people. He said, the palace guard, they've heard the gospel. They know that I'm a believer. The palace itself has heard the gospel. They know what we're all about. He said, the believers, other Christians around Rome who were timid and afraid before I got here, they're becoming a little more bold. They're starting to feel some release to stand up and proclaim the message of Jesus. So he said, a lot of bad stuff has happened to me. A lot of bad stuff has happened to me. But every bit of it is doing the work of spreading the gospel. Now, this is important. Paul did not see himself as a prisoner of Rome or Nero. Paul did not think the emperor, Nero, has power over me. Not once did he think that. Paul did not see himself as a prisoner of Rome. Paul saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. A willful prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, look, all of this is bringing glory to Jesus. All of this is working in favor of winning people to Christ. He said, look, Nero thinks he's in charge. We know better. I'm here under orders of Jesus Christ. I'm here doing the work of God. I'm not here as a victim. I'm not here. Nobody could hold me here if God didn't want me here. I'm here because God has me here. God is taking the message of Jesus Christ to one of the highest places, most affluent places on planet Earth, in Rome, in the palace of Nero. The one that had all the power, it seemed, on Earth at that time, especially in that area. Now, Paul was saying, look, I'm more than a conqueror. I've got what it takes through Jesus, not myself, but through Jesus. Acts 28 and 20, Paul says, I'm bound with chains. In Ephesians chapter 6, he said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ, but I'm bound. Now, this word bound is the original word means to be chained to a guard. As he is sitting in this house that he is allowed to stay in for this two-year period, he is still chained to the wrist of a Praetorian guard every single day and every single night. Now, the Praetorian Guard were young, elite, hand-picked soldiers. They were the baddest of the bad, the toughest of the tough. They were there to protect Nero. They were there for many kinds of armed maneuvers. Their job was to do whatever Nero needed them to do. He wanted them to watch Paul. I think he saw Paul as a threat. He said, you're going to be chained to one of these young, strong, capable soldiers every day. Now, here's what Paul said. I'm telling them all about Jesus. Can you imagine? I'm chained to this guy, and all he does is want to talk about Jesus. You're like, hey, next, I need somebody come on and take my place. He is telling everybody about Jesus. Now, Paul has such joy that even though he is bound, even though he's imprisoned in this house, he has such joy. The idea of joy is the overarching theme of this entire book of Philippians. He has such joy that when those soldiers uncuff themselves from him and the next one comes in, that soldier leaves and he just wants to tell people about what happened. This guy, this Paul guy that we've been holding that is waiting for trial, he told me all about Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? He told me that he used to arrest people and he used to persecute these people, but he had this amazing experience with God and he gives his heart to this guy, Jesus Christ. And his life has been changed and he goes on to explain all of this. And so from one soldier to the next soldier to the next soldier to the next, they're hearing about Jesus. They're hearing about Jesus. More and more about Jesus. Paul said, everything that has happened to me has been to lift up the name of Jesus. The message goes so far out. He has a friend come in and bring him a gift, Epaphroditus. And when he leaves, he tells the Christians around there, look, Paul's doing great. Paul brings in another friend. He says, I'm doing great. I'm just here. Everything I'm doing is bringing glory to Jesus Christ. I'm okay. I'm okay. I got this because I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm being what God has called me to be. I just want to spread the message of Jesus everywhere I go. And when those friends would leave his house, they would go back to their friends and their churches and they would say, we need to tell more people about Jesus. Paul's over there waiting to possibly be killed by Nero and he's got so much joy. It was infectious. We know those people in our lives that just have this infectious joy. We look at their circumstances and we go, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't understand how they could have this joy. It's because they know one thing. Everything that is happening to me is making the message of Jesus go out. Everything that's happening, every negative thing that happens in my life, I can have joy through it because I know this. The message of Jesus Christ is being shared with somebody because of my trouble. Isn't it a little bit selfish and arrogant for us to say, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going through this. I'm not saying I don't do it. I'm not saying you don't do it. I'm not saying we won't do it in the future. But if we only think about ourselves, every negative thing that comes along feels like a downer. I'm chained to this stuff. Who are you chained to right now that God is asking you? He's giving you this opportunity to share the gospel with this person. He's given you this opportunity. Maybe it's that neighbor. You know who it is. You know who she is. You know who he is. Maybe it's a coworker in the next cubicle. Maybe it's that customer. Every time you have to deal with him, you're like, Lord, I just want you to help me not to kill him today. Paul said, everything that happens is bringing glory to the name of Jesus. Everything that happens is spreading the name of Jesus. Sometimes God puts us in circumstances we don't like so that the message of Jesus can go forward. God will place us in circumstances. Look at this. God will place us in circumstances. Do we have that next slide, guys? God will place us in circumstances that we do not like so that the message of Jesus can go forward. I don't know about you, but there's stuff in my life that I don't like. I don't care for it. I want God to change it. I want God to fix it. I want it to be different. It's just uncomfortable. I don't like discomfort. Paul said everything is an opportunity for the message to go forward. Now let's look at the next verse 15 through 17. He says this, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. He said, there are people out there that are telling others about Jesus, but they're doing it trying to become more famous than me. Paul's like, look where this fame got me. That's what our society lives for, right? Is fame and fortune. Give me more. Make sure more people know me. Hit the like button. Hit the heart button. And Paul was like, look, I'm just doing this for Jesus. I've already been famous. A lot of people already knew me. Now everything I do is just to point people to Jesus. But he said, there is true. Some people are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. But others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Watch this. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. He said, there are people out there that say they are believers, but man, they're just messing this up. They're doing it out of selfish motives. They're not thinking about what's best for the church. They're not thinking of ways to get the message out. They're just doing it so they can get the attention. They're making it harder on me in here. God wants us to spread the message of Jesus. I don't want to be the guy who's making it harder to spread the message of Jesus. If I live my life in a way that is not consistent with the book, if I live my life in a way that says I'm being hypocritical, then I'm hurting the message. I'm hurting others' opportunity of sharing the message. How many times have we heard, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites? I don't want to be the guy that keeps somebody out of church. I probably have been. I probably messed up. You probably have. We probably will. But the goal is to be the kind of person that will share the message of Jesus from a pure heart, and everything that happens to us will further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 18 says this, but that doesn't matter. He said, some people are preaching it with wrong motives. They're hurting us. It's just a problem. But whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. He said, they got a bad heart, but they're telling people about Jesus. They're spreading the message. I don't like their methods, but the message is getting out. And he said this, so I rejoice. Now, this is important. Right after he has said, I'm in chains, I got this guard with me all the time. But instead of feeling like he's the enemy, I'm just telling him about Jesus. He said, I got this guard with me all the time. I got some of my Jewish brothers heading my direction, waiting to lie about me. I got Nero, who will kill anybody, waiting to judge my case. Life is difficult, but he said, and then he said, not only that, I got all these external negatives out there. We got some internal negatives in the church. We got people that are messing this up. They're doing it the wrong way. But he said, look, the message of Jesus is being spread. That's the goal. And then he says, in all of that, I rejoice. I'm just going to rejoice. I'm going to have joy because this is the goal of my life now, is to spread the message of Jesus. And then he says this, and I will continue to rejoice. Now, that's a powerful little moment right there where he says to the Philippians, look, I got joy. Anybody ever said to you, I'm good, I'm good? You really know they're not that good? I got it, I got it. And you're like, yeah, I know you got it right now, but when we move forward, you might not have it. Where you look yourself in the mirror and you give yourself the pep talk. Go out there and do it, and it's okay, and you got this. And Paul said, I'm not just saying I got joy. I'm saying I'm going to continue in joy. I'm not saying that I'm just standing in front of the mirror and pumping myself up. I got joy. He said, look, I'm going to continue in joy every single day. I'm going to continue no matter what is happening around me. I'm going to continue because the message of Jesus Christ is being spread. Verse 18. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice. Verse 19. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. How does Paul feel about his circumstances? He doesn't have to like the thing about Nero. He doesn't have to like the thing about the trumped up charges. He doesn't have to like being held to a guard. But he's decided that all of those circumstances are a part of his journey. He's come to the realization he does not care about the motives of other people. He's saying, look, as long as the name of Jesus is lifted up. I want to ask us all this question this morning. Is my life so focused on Jesus? Is your life so focused on Jesus that we can step back and we can go, you know what? This circumstance is not, I don't like it. That circumstance, I don't like it. But it's all working to lift up the name of Jesus. It only works if I'm convinced. The Bible says from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There are times when you have to just tell yourself, I'm okay, I got it, I got it. You're not feeling it. But as you walk in your journey with the Lord and you start to grow, the valleys become higher and the mountaintops become higher. You don't have to live down in that negative feeling all the time. You say, I know, I've got enough experience to know God was with me back then. He's going to be with me tomorrow. He loves me. He cares about me. And he's going to use my life to spread the message of Jesus. How committed am I to that? How committed am I to having joy in the moment? Now, listen, we're talking about hard stuff here. That I'm going to so surrender my life to Christ that whatever happens, I'm going to say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust that the name of Jesus is going to be spread. I trust that the gospel message is going to be shared in my difficulty, in my circumstances. Am I there yet? I don't know. Some days. Some days not so much, but it's a journey. Every day we're growing, we're growing, we're growing. I want to share five things with you to conclude this message. To remember when you're sharing Christ. Five things to remember when you're sharing Christ. Every one of us is a messenger of Jesus Christ. It's not just, I get to stand up here, and it's one of the privileges of my life to get to stand up here on Sunday morning and share the gospel. But that's not where it ends. He's called every one of us to share the message. All right? How do we do that? How do we share the message? First thing we have to remember is this: your life is your witness. My life is my witness. How I live my life matters. Paul could have gone in there complaining. I can't believe it's you again with the chains. Can I get the other guy? You stink. I don't like you. Can you move here? Let's spread this chain out as far as we can. Can you sit in the other room and we just hold our arms around the corner? He could have done that. That might be what some of us would have done. Berated him, talked bad about him. Paul said, no, no, no. Everything that happened to me is going to make sure that the gospel message is shared. He saw it as an opportunity. He understood that his life was his witness. That was it. Everybody is looking at your life and mine, our relationship with Jesus. Not for perfection. I don't think we should ever claim perfection, all right? If you do, it's a hard fall, all right? It's just a hard fall. It's ugly. When we start acting like we've got it all figured out, your day is coming, my day is coming, when we're going to make a wrong choice, a wrong turn, and we're going to have to go, oh, yeah, I'm human. Yeah. I've had those moments in my life where I'm like, I'm doing pretty good. I feel pretty good about the direction. And, oh, man, I didn't see that coming. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd changed that. I wish I could fix that. I'm not claiming perfection. You're not claiming perfection. Here's what we're claiming: that Christ has redeemed us. That's what we're claiming. That's it. I'm not claiming to be perfect. I'm claiming to be redeemed. And God is still working on me. The little children's song from growing up said, He's still working on me, making me what I ought to be. Every day. My life, though, my life is the way I witness to the world. Your life is the way you witness to the world. Here's the second one. We all need to be heard. If we're going to share Christ, we got to remember this. We all need to be heard. Every one of us. There are people in your life that all you have to do to be a witness for Jesus Christ to them is just say, I'm listening. I'm going to slow down a minute. I'm going to seriously and conscientiously listen to you. Our example is to be a friend, not to set somebody up as a fake friend. I'm going to be their fake friend so I can win them to Jesus. How about we just be their real friend? Paul's just a real friend. Paul's like, I know we're here in chains. I know you'd really like to be home with your family, but can we just talk? I can imagine those young soldiers telling him their problems and him saying, I got an answer to that. Let me tell you, I used to be on your team. I used to be the guy that was putting people in chains for talking about Jesus, and here I am sitting in chains talking to you about what Jesus did in me. Talk to me. Tell me about your life. He understood that Jesus was the answer. Here's the third thing we need to remember. We're all looking for a cure. We're all looking for a cure. When you go to the doctor, nobody's ever gone to the doctor and said, I got cancer. We can't diagnose ourselves. Here's what we do. We tell the doctor our symptoms, and the doctor looks into it. Okay, let me check out this. We'll run this test. We'll run that test. We'll see what the symptoms are. When you and I, before we came to Christ, we didn't know what the treatment was. We didn't know what the answer was because we didn't even know what the sickness was. We just knew the symptoms were, I'm lonely, I'm suffering, I'm broken, I'm stressed, I'm angry, I'm broke, I'm losing everything. There's darkness all around me. That's the symptoms. And the answer was, that's because you're away from Jesus. You need Jesus. He's the ultimate cure. See, I don't have to be a theologian to make an impact on the people in my life. I just have to care about them. Tell my story of what Jesus has done for me. Here's the fourth thing to remember. Simple is better. Simple is better. I've told this story too many times, but many years ago, right over here and on the floor, we were finishing a service, and this young lady who had never been to church came to me and said, "Thank you for that." And I was like, "Well, you're welcome." I felt good about that. I was encouraged. She said, "I understood everything you just said. You didn't use any big words." And she's 20 years old. And I said, "Honey, I don't know any big words. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Just keep it simple, stupid. Why don't we try to complicate Jesus? Jesus was born. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have eternity with God. That's what the gospel is. We don't have to overcomplicate this. God loves you. God loves me. We're in this together. We're on the same team. We got to remember that when we share this message. And here's the fifth thing. If I'm going to share the message of Jesus, I need to remember that we all need love. We all need to be loved. I don't need to be straightened out. I don't need to be told how I'm wrong. I just need to be loved. It's not my job to go around pointing fingers at unbelievers and saying, "This is why you're wrong and terrible." And no, no, no. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. My job, your job, is to love people. Paul is chained to these young soldiers, and he's just showing them what Jesus would do. He's just loving them and sharing the message. They're unchaining themselves at the end of their shift. The next guy's on. They go out and they go, "You know what? There's something weird about that guy, Paul. He's not angry like the rest of those prisoners. I wonder if there's an opportunity for you and me to be the kind of person that when we clock out of work, people walk out and go, 'That guy's weird. He's not angry like everybody else in that building. He's got something they don't have. He should be angry the way they treated him today, but he's smiling. He seems like he's okay.'" We all need to be loved. The Bible says this in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." God loves us. God loves us. We're going to pray. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, I want you to know him. Above everything else, I just want you to know Jesus. I want you to have a relationship with him. So it goes like this: "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need to be saved. I want to surrender to you, and I need your help." Pray that prayer. You can pray it in your own words. Just start a conversation with God. Put your trust in him. Ask him to cleanse. Ask him to save. Ask him to do the work, and he will. He's the answer. He's the cure. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all you've done today. We thank you for your grace. Lord, Paul gave up his whole life to share the message of Jesus with people that didn't like him. Lord, you love those people, and you love everyone in this building and everyone that's watching and the families represented by all of us, God. And we just give our friends and family to you this morning. Lord, I pray that if there's one person that doesn't know you, they would just surrender. They would just confess their sins and let you do your work. Let you do the work, Lord. Just put their belief in you and let you start the journey. God, we thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen.